Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I am joined by my husband and co-host,
The Kev on Stage.
And we are joined by two very special guests that I am just so freaking excited that they are here, Melanie and Seth Studley.
Yup. Yo, what's
I'm so excited. They are the host of Anatomy of Marriage podcast. Everyone always asks me, Melissa, what are the marriage podcasts you listen to? And your names are always on my list. So this is one of the podcasts that I love and adore. I love and adore them, even though I just met them 10 minutes ago. But I'm so excited to have you both here. You see, Seth is here with his Seahawks hat because they're from our hometown-ish of Seattle, Washington. And I'm just so excited.
Yes. 206, that's right.
I'm so excited. So before we even get to the that or this question, if you wouldn't mind like introducing yourselves, who you are, tell us a little bit about your backstory, how the podcast came to be, all of the things.
Okay, we'll try to do it quickly. So my name's Seth. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist for about 12 years. We've been together for 15 years. I'm from South Carolina and trying to make this thing work.
Yeah, and I'm Melanie Studley. I'm from Seattle, Washington. And we started the podcast because about 5 years into our marriage, we had a terrible time. Seth confessed that he had been looking at pornography and lying.
Seth, you were looking on that booty on that internet. You were up on that porno.
But this was literally when I was holding our second child, who was 2 weeks old, when he confessed.
Seth.
And I was like, I lost my mind.
Seth.
I
know.
But that was like not even the thing about our marriage. We were just like out of control.
We were hot
mess. That was just
wacky.
One of many.
That was just like the tiny snowflake.
Straw
that was like,
that broke the camel's back.
And then she gave me a black eye.
Yeah.
I caught a hard right hook from her.
You sucked him?
For real.
On the dead, homie? I've been looking at that poor bot. What's up? You won't look if your eyes closed, will you?
No. Now you can't see that stuff.
Yeah, right? But so we made the podcast that we wish we had had when we went through all that time.
Yeah.
Because when we went through it, we was like, we're just such a mess. And everything that's out there is for like happy couples who love each other. And I'm like, what do you do when you hate your husband? So that's why we made our show.
Yeah. And the whole thing, like, because I'm a marriage and family therapist. Yeah. So I learned some stuff. I knew some stuff. So we bring that into it, bring the clinical piece, and then just like, we try to be as real as possible.
Yeah,
and just
real and raw and
throw
like
it out there.
Real.
Yeah.
Quick question before we go on, and I won't do this a lot, but are you ever like, don't be bringing no therapy stuff in here, Seth. I am not your patient. I'm your wife.
Ooh.
When we first got married, he was like diagnosing me with everything.
Right.
You're
she had everything.
You have whatever. I mean, it was literally everything. I'm like, shut it.
But now she brings it.
Okay.
You're a therapist, dude. Like, let's get this going.
Got it.
Okay. Which I bet you do that.
Yeah, I am that person. Anytime we're in any dynamics together, I'm always like, let's talk about your relationships.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why don't you love them? Why don't you speak about your feelings? Why aren't you vulnerable? Everybody's like, I don't want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
But I do this all the time. Yes. Literally, I'm like that with everybody all of the time. It's literally my favorite thing to do, actually. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I'm so excited to have you here, and I've been a fan of the show for honestly a few years now, is because I actually said this to Melanie, our first conversation. I'm like, you're like the black or the white version of me and Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's how I feel like you guys are. Even saying you created your podcast wishing you created the podcast you wish you had when you were going through. Mm. Part of the reason we do what we do is kind of the same. It comes from that same place, in that when we got married, I struggled a lot with sexuality because of just the shame and all of that. And child, we're tap dancing on both of our episodes. I'm so excited. But a lot of the shame that I internalized growing up in the purity movement, to be honest, and I carried that with me unknowingly into my marriage, and it had a horrible effect. And so when I would go to marriage enrichment and women's classes and all of these things, everyone has on this face of perfection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you mean to tell me that I'm the only one struggling with this? I mean, of course, then I didn't have that attitude. It was more like, oh my God, I'm the only one going through this. I cannot believe no one else has this all problem. It's just me. So that brings like isolation and shame and all of these things. And the moment I like educated myself and started reading books and all of those things, and then I opened up and said, this is my story, so many women were like, me to, you know? And so just that being that relatability and letting people know, like, you're not alone has been like my number one mission. Anytime anybody even asks me for advice, I'm always like, the first things first, you're not alone. First things first, this is very common. Just like level setting, because once you get in your own head about that, child, it's hard to heal.
Yeah, then you got that tape recorder going and it just never freaking shuts up. And like, one of the things, like in therapy, it's like what we do with our show and what you guys do with your show is you normalize this stuff. Like, oh, you too? Yep, me too. And like, one of one of y'all's episodes that I just like loved was when you were talking about the title was Kev is a Wreck, you know?
Yes.
And like, man, you were sharing all that stuff. It's like, oh, okay. He gets it. He's sharing it. Yeah. And like, when we feel like we can relate to somebody else in that way, okay, I'm not hiding stuff, they're not hiding stuff, we're just normal, let's just chill and like talk about it. It's like so powerful. And absolutely, I think your guys' show does that 100%, and we try to do that with our
100%
show.
I agree. Yep. 100% yep. I agree. So I'm so excited. Thank you guys again for being here. You guys are going to love them. Make sure that you check them out. Everything will be in the description box below. But before we like get fully into our topic, we always start with a that or this question submitted from our listeners. If you would like to submit, please go to or send an email to hello@thelovehour.com. This is the question. Would you rather use rationed 75 sheets a day or less, 2 or 3 ply toilet paper, or unlimited supply of 1 ply toilet paper? And these are the caveats. You cannot wet, stack, roll on your hand, or otherwise alter the toilet paper besides balling it up. Balling it up is actually not the most efficient way to use toilet paper, but nope. I digress. You also cannot use wipes, washes, or soap of any kind, or take any additional showers or baths.
Oh, come on!
Nor alternate methods like cloth towels, Kleenex, or paper towels. You also cannot share each other's daily ration, and this scenario does not apply to your kids. You can't borrow from them either.
Somebody thought about this.
Listen, yeah. I always love when they're like, okay, asterisk, read the fine print.
75 squares a day?
75 squares a day of 2 or 3 ply or unlimited supply of 1 ply. I'm not going to lie, I know off the bat. Wait, let's do our guests first. We're trying to do better, okay? Don't be in the comments talking about y'all take over. Shut up.
Well, don't take over and they won't be in the
hello?
Comments.
Hello? You shut up too.
75, that seems like a lot. And it's 2 ply, so I think I'll go with that.
I go with that.
Me too. Yeah.
I mean,
right?
I'm taking my risk with 2 ply. 1 ply.
Uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. It's if sick. Your nails go through and then you can't take a shower, I'm done.
Nope.
For this reason,
but you
I'm
can
out.
Wash your hands.
For this reason, I'm out.
Unlimited 1 ply.
Unlimited 1 ply.
I'd be boo-booing. I can't risk. I don't even know how many squares I go through.
You get 1 square to use at a time, though.
Of 1 ply? Of 1 ply. But it's unlimited.
It's only 1 square at a time?
Is that what it said?
Ooh. No, Josh, you're adding in caveats.
No. You can ball it up. Yeah, you can ball it up. So you can use more than.
You can't stack, though. You can't put the plies together to make 3 ply.
Right.
I just can't risk not having enough because I'd be boo-booing every day.
That's one thing you don't want to do.
Yeah. If you run out, you can't just go out in mud butt for the rest of the day.
You sit there and panic and look around. Yeah.
You can't take a shower. With all this stuff, you all be like, oh, just take a shower, open up my butt. But you can't even open up your butt.
And literally.
Who thought? She thought too much about it. Like, I wanted to ask you could take a shower to wash your butt out. Nope. Ain't no butt wash out.
I love that.
I can't risk not having enough. Because some days are heavier than others.
I literally cannot. We're done with this conversation. I quickly, like while we're talking
cream,
about
soft serve, you just pull it down. It's just like, right, guys? Huh? People don't be boo-booing every day. That's the problem. Y'all ain't regular. I boo-boo.
While we're talking
day.
About regularity and comfort, I really want to tell you guys about my favorite bra of all time, Third Love. You guys know how I feel about them. I actually just got a testimonial, and the lady was like, I worked a full 10-hour shift or something like that, got home, and my first reaction wasn't to, like, take the bra off. And I was like, I've been told y'all. The bra you travel with is the bra that you enjoy. period. Like, anything that you can travel with is what you really like in real life, because you never want to take any risk when you travel. You always want to take your tried and true. That's how I feel about Third Love. And what is so great is that they offer more than 70 sizes. You can take their signature fit quiz. They have half cup sizes. It's amazing and it's comfortable. Like, at the end of the day, that's all we really want as women. Comfort. Please just don't stab me. I just don't want to feel like I'm about to die. Please just make this comfortable. And that's what they do. Third Love has a 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Listen, you get comfort and like warm and fuzzies in your heart. Comfort, this is fantastic.
And charity.
Comfort and charity. I like it. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/lovehour now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/lovehour for 15% off today. And really quickly, I want to tell you guys about my book club, Melissa's Book Club Booze. I'm really excited about. But in it, I am doing a giveaway, and I'm giving away a Third Love bra.
Oh, nice.
So if you have not joined, link will be in the description box below. Okay, we're done with that. Let's go into the topic. And so what we want to do is talk about, it'll be kind of two-ply, but we'll talk two-ply.
Two-ply, don't bother me.
It'll twofold is maybe the better word. It's all circling back to this. But we want to talk about like conflict resolution. But before we even get to there, you guys will, or I'll have you guys introduce like a beginning, a conflict that you had early on in your relationship and kind of giving us that background, even though we kind of tip dance on it earlier. And then we can lead into some... or you can give steps on how to resolve when you're at like a standstill, something that's like, you know, a strategy to help you overcome that based on your own personal experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a good introduction. Okay, yeah. Go for it.
Okay, so instead of like going back to a problem like we had, you know, a minute ago, let's do like some real stuff.
Okay.
Like current. Like one of the things, and maybe Kev, you can kind of jam on this, is like sometimes I don't say what I'm feeling, you know, right away, and I'm just like, It's cool, you know. And then like a week, a month later, it kind of blows up. I'm like, you do this and you do that, right? Yep. So what I'm working on is like, all right, what is my truth? And I you know, what's that thing that you're doing? Is it like speak your truth, or you were talking about something?
Just
you're
say on, it.
Just say it. Oh my, just right. Say it campaign.
You just say it, right? Yes. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do that too. So just
I'm
say
like,
it.
What did I say?
But you can say it. Like I could come at her sideways and be like, well, so you know, you always do this or you never do that, which is two words we're not supposed to use, always, because you're not always doing something and you're not never doing something, right? So don't use those two words.
I'm never tripping, still tipping though.
I like that. Just say it. So what is my truth in that? And I've been trying to work on that. So one way that I do that is this, we use this intervention called the clearing structure. And what that does is, you can jump in if you want to explain it too.
Well, I want to talk about how we came. We did not create the clearing structure. It's a therapeutic technique that sets the therapist. And so we
just tweaked it.
Yeah, it came up in like, I don't know, it was several episodes into our podcast. And he was like, oh, we should use the clearing structure to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what is that? What is that?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound like very clear what it is even.
I agree.
And so he got this sheet and it's like, I feel this way because you this and I whatever. And it seems really clinical and weird and like hard to follow. But when we worked through it, it really clarified. It brought clarity to the thing that we were struggling with. And so he was like, yeah, let's talk about it on the show. Let's introduce this idea. So that's how I learned about it, was through him, because it's a therapeutic tool. And so then we adapted it and slowly started using it, excuse me, and talking about it more on our show. And so as we've worked through it, we've actually... we've done live episodes where we share like actual problems that we're walking through. So what was the one that we just did? We did two episodes about doing the clearing structure in real time.
Okay.
And what was it about? We didn't even know what we fight about.
Well, that's often what happens.
Yeah. I know. It's like, then you're done. You're like, what are we even talking about? Yeah. Okay, so one of them was like, maybe I get irritated or something and just kind of defer to whatever she does because I'm like, you know, it's sometimes just easier not to fight, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I've been working on being like, okay, be present, because the more that I can be present, then I'll be present with other relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the clearing structure is like, okay, say Melanie did something like, hey, when you were,
oh,
you know.
I know what it was. Oh. It was that... You were like, Melanie, when you're like a robot and you don't care about me and you're just trying to get stuff done, I don't feel loved.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So when she's like all business, when she's like way up here, business mind, like, we got to do this for the show. We got to edit this and do this. And did you call so-and-so?
Or like, we got first kids appointments and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, I come at him just like, here's the to-do list, right?
Like, even in the morning, not even like, no good morning hug or kiss. I'm like...
I'd be saying that.
Right? Would you be saying?
I told Melissa, when she is very laser focused in a lot of ways. So if she has like drop the boys off, go to an appointment and meet at the office, she'll just walk out the house.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well. I'd be like, girl, can you hug me? Kiss me? Let me know you love me. She's like, no, bye.
Yeah.
Just like, I am leaving now. I'm gone. I'd be like, girl, hug my neck. Let me smell your perfume.
That's right.
Let me grab your booty on the way out. Let me have a little softness before you go. So she has to go back and be like, hello, Kevin. I love you. Bye. You know what I mean?
Tell it's me not what that feels nature. Like. What does that feel like for you?
It's unnatural and it's awkward. And I'll tell you why. My five love languages, my lowest love language is physical touch. And so I don't need it. Yeah. I don't crave it. I don't need it at all. I don't need that like connection physically. And so it feels robotic because it's like, oh, this is important to him. Let me go back and make sure I do this.
It sounds like aliens, like this is important human interaction.
Yes.
Goodbye, human.
It's, right. What is
like
that?
Strange
that
planet.
Instagram. Yes.
Strange planet.
That's so funny.
Hello, fellow being. You need touch. Touch.
Hello, fellow being of close proximity.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's like no good morning, nothing. It's just straight to business. So I feel you on that one, Kev. And I was like, okay, when you do that, and if listeners can go look at the clearing structure, so they'll get
tell
an
us
idea
where
of
you can find these resources.
Oh, just anatomyofmarriage.com.
Or you can structure. Get in the app, which we're going to talk all about that in a minute. But keep on.
So it's like, so the purpose of the clearing structure is, okay, I'm just going to talk about my feelings. Like, so I'm going to make I statements. Like you said earlier, like, okay, when Melanie does this, I feel a certain way. Like, I'm not coming at her sideways. Like, you always do this. And why do you do that? So it's not like blaming or critical or anything like that. So
it's
that's
just explaining your feelings.
Just explaining
when
your feelings.
This action happens, it makes me feel this way.
Exactly.
We kind of do that with the narrative I'm telling myself. Because that gives you an opportunity to say that's not necessarily what I've been trying to do, but that's the way it's being interpreted,
right?
Which is what you have to adjust for, whether it's your intention or not.
So, Melanie, when you hit me first thing in the morning with like business,
when you hit me.
No.
When you punch my eye, it hurt my eye. I feel pain and eyes it lost.
That was only once. Thank God. That was only once. No, when you hit me with business first thing in the morning, it makes me feel like we're not connecting, and it just has to turn my brain on right away. And what's the second one? And what I make up about that is like, I'm just your roommate or business partner.
I
want from you is to be like, hey, let's just chill for a minute, check in.
More connection.
More connection, maybe, you know, physical touch or a little kiss or whatever. And what I want for myself from that is to feel like, okay, we're cool. I can, we're cool. Because a lot of times, like when we're cool with our partner, at least for maybe me, maybe you two, Kev, or men, it's like, okay, if I'm cool here, then everything else is just cake the rest of the day, right? Yeah. And what I want from myself is that, to feel connected, and then what else? What I want from you, so you're saying all your feelings, and then it's like, hey, you know, I'm not coming at you weird, but what I want from you is to just more connection. And if she can hear it with clear ears, then it usually works really good.
Yeah, so, and the whole goal is clarity. Like, you're clarifying what is it that he's so upset about, and then how can he communicate that to me in a way that I hear? Because and here's the coolest part. So I listened to y'all's episode about communication, and I don't remember what the title, but it was just all about communication. And as you guys were talking, you said something about what was it? You called it anger vomit or something? Yes. You said you don't want to anger vomit on somebody. Mm-hmm. And then you were talking about coming sideways at somebody. Mm-hmm. You give them emotional whiplash. And as I'm not joking, I was listening. I was like, they're filling in the pieces of the clearing structure that have been missing. Like all, because I hadn't had it like sandwiched in, because I've done the clearing structure with Seth where it is like, see, like I just hit you upside the head with this clearing structure. Yeah. You like that? And it's not to do anything. Like that, right? It didn't do anything good.
No, you can like, do it the wrong way.
I was doing it the wrong way. Right. And so I expanded the clearing structure after listening to y'all's episode. And I added in like that sort of soft.
Soft entry.
Right. Yeah. Sounded weird real all of a sudden. didn't sound right. But so yeah, it starts out now with like, here are the things that I value about you. I'm so thankful. Like, you're a good husband. You help take the kids to school or whatever. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, that was...
the first time she said that, I was like,
But so then it goes through. It goes through your... like, here's what I think about you. I'm so thankful for you. Then it says, but here's what I want to talk about. Mm. And it clarifies, when you do this thing, I feel this way. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the steps of how we can change that. So what I really wanted to have happen was when, you know, you would say this to me, in the morning, maybe you hug me, maybe you kiss me, maybe we spend 5 minutes before we do any business, we just like love on each other for 5 minutes. Yes. That would feel good to me. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you actionable steps. And then in the app, so once I listened to y'all's episode and was like super inspired, I talked to my app developer guy friend, and he was like, I can make that into a thing where it actually takes all the stuff you've written out and turns it into a paragraph that you read to your partner.
Wow.
So
you input your feelings and it gives you like a script?
And it gives you a list of feelings in case you don't really know.
We just found this. I totally found this thing on Twitter. You want me to stop?
No, go for it. I'm excited about
that. It was like
that.
A wheel of feelings.
Yeah.
And it, because we only really like mad, sad,
and I'll tell
pissed.
You, I'm cutting you off. Listeners,
I gave you the chance.
I know.
I gave you the chance.
I'm not taking your chance. I'm creating my own.
Because this is what happens. Comments begin into your head, and so it creates a different dynamic because I'm trying to adjust for what they want. So what I'm telling y'all is I'm cutting him off.
She played the baby Joker.
Yes. So I know what you're about to say, but I wanted to say this because we just went to a marriage retreat a couple weekends ago, and one of the things that I said, and something that I've actually done, is literally looked up emotions and gone through, because a lot of times what happens, this is actually what we were saying in the marriage retreat, is that a lot of times what happens is you can't identify how you're actually feeling. Mm-hmm. And so it just comes across as an attitude. So it just comes across as anger because you don't know how to say, oh, that's loneliness that I'm feeling. Oh, that's resentment that you don't always have the language to articulate. All you know is something's off. He's what's off. So now I'm mad at him.
And the thing is, having an attitude is not an actionable item.
Exactly. Right.
To just be sitting there like,
exactly.
Black girl lips.
Yes.
Like, and as a husband, sometimes she had, like, luckily this is not happening as much, but this is a very recent thing. Like, she would just be having an attitude, and I'd see it, and I'd be like, man, you're not going to talk about it. Right. I'm not going to go in there digging, potting, because when I try to prod and prime you, it just makes you more frustrated.
It makes it worse.
I'm going to go do something else that makes me happy. If you're going to be pissed off, be pissed off. Right. If you want to calm down later and talk about it, you can. And then it can start building resentment on the other side, because it's probably one of these three things. But I don't know, or it's something new. If you can't at least give me the opportunity to, you know, deal with it, then just be pissed off. I'll watch Seinfeld.
That's a hard one.
It is so hard. And so being able to, half the battle is arming yourself with the language to articulate what's going on with you. Yeah. That's half the battle.
And that is some work you have to
and
do.
And that is work
the
you
upset
have
party.
To do. Yep. So going through and finding the emotions wheel, or going and finding like a list of all of these emotions, so you can say, this is what's wrong with me. And now being able to say, in the morning when you approach me like this, I feel unloved, versus you don't care, you don't do this, now I got an attitude, now you gonna ask me to do something, I'm gonna give you the cold shoulder, don't talk to me. And you just go through with this attitude instead of having an adult conversation saying, So listen, this is what happened this morning. This is how I interpreted what happened. I don't want to feel like this. This is what I need for you. And the reasons why I need this from you is because this makes me feel like this. Can we do that? Yes or no?
Yeah.
That's so much more productive than going through 48 hours of having an attitude.
Yeah. And you know what? That happens. Oh, sorry.
We're going to let y'all talk. See, we're taking over, Kev.
No. I just want to. There was a specific time where Melissa was working on that. And she did it. Like, I remember I was going to a. I was heading out the door to a podcast. She asked me something, and I jumped in and just, here's the answer. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. This is what you need to do. Mm. And then I left. And I knew I knew when I was leaving, I was like, oh, she's mad about something, but I didn't know. So on my drive to the podcast, she was like, when you said that to me, it made me feel like you didn't care how I felt. Mm-hmm. It came across condescending. It made me feel like this. If here's another way you could have talked to me and give me the same information that would make me feel like you value me, not I am one of your employees.
Right.
And that's one of the things that we've been struggling with ever since we had full-time jobs last year. And then we both went into business together. And that relationship of me running a team of people who ask me questions and I need to answer them. Mm-hmm. And a wife who's like, first of all, I ain't your little employee. Ain't no benefits at this job. You know what I'm saying? So that change was like, okay, now I understand how you made me feel. It's not just you're pissed off.
Yeah.
Because now you're pissed off. Okay, well, I can't do anything right, about that's not pissed off.
Yeah. Continue.
And no, one thing I was going to say, like when we get our own internal attitudes, you know what we go back, what we always default to if we're not aware of it? Family of origin stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, this is my favorite topic.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So like, how did your mom or dad or, you know, the adults that you spent the most time with, how did they react to stuff? You know, were they like, well, you know, have an attitude all the time, or did they talk about it? I know in my family, like in the South, you yell at people and then you're okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And like, that's the opposite of her family. But my default is like, hold it in, blow up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, destroyed. I'm like, what? We're cool, right? You know? Yeah. I'm like, no, that's not
you
how
do
it
a
works.
Giant explosion and then yeah. you repair. And I'm like, I do yeah. not. Last thing I want to do is hug you right now.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
But family of origin, that's how we came up. Makes sense. And if yeah. we don't, like, educate ourselves around that and be intentional mm-hmm. around it, we're always going to go back to that, sure. which is hard to undo, but it's just like relearning stuff.
It
you
is,
know?
Absolutely.
Just absolutely
and
relearning.
One of the things I was going to say that I also got from y'all's episode was that you mentioned taking a break or a pause between mm-hmm. like talking about something.
Yes.
So that is something I worked into the bottom of the clearing structure. The new version is, when can we talk about this? Like, do you want to talk about it now? Are yes. we in an okay place to talk about it now? And if not, when?
Yes.
Part of the reason for that is that a lot of times if I'm super heated, I want to talk about it, but I really just want to fight.
Yes.
Like, I actually don't want to solve the problem. I'm just like, oh, I got all this energy. Yes. Look what I can do.
That's such a great, honest thing. Like, yes. I just want to fight with you.
I do.
I want to argue.
Someone
That'll
said,
make me feel better.
Yeah, at a party, somebody said, I love a good fight. And I was like, oh my gosh.
No.
I never even thought of that. I do too.
That takes some introspective, like, yeah. honesty.
Mm-hmm. It does. And like, her style, like, I'm conflict avoidant, oh, and like yeah. her wanting to fight, and I was like looking at her, I'm like, you want to fight?
Yeah.
What? No.
It feels
the last
really
thing
like
I
in
do.
A way it feels super connecting.
Sure, I get
it's
that.
It's like no. yeah. exciting,
I get,
right?
Yeah, I get it.
No, man.
But yeah, so that was part of like we worked it into the clearing structure at the end where you actually, you know, you say, when are we going to talk about this? You know, if you don't want to talk about it now, that's fine. But it does. It takes a lot of self-awareness.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of ability to like slow stuff down, or like you said, you're conflict avoidant as well, so
yeah.
maybe it takes energy to actually speed it up.
Yeah.
Put it on a calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then also, and I'm not trying to like talk about the app a bunch, but one of the features in the app is marriage meetings,
yeah.
where you actually jot down things like, okay, we need to talk about that clearing structure conversation at Tuesday at 9.
I love it.
But the best part about that is that maybe when you wrote that down on Saturday, you were mad
right.
as a hornet.
Mm.
Come Tuesday at 9, you're like, maybe I was just
not
right. mad,
right
and maybe
now.
It's no big deal, and maybe
sure.
I'm
yes.
yeah. And so it avoids lots of fights because
yes.
you're like, I actually am not going to act on every impulse I have to fight.
Mm.
Instead, I'm going to like put it on a calendar and
right.
see
yeah.
if it really does matter, or mm-hmm. if I was just like PMSing or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's so important because I think it's a balancing act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because for some of us, not talking about it is just avoidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, talking about it can wind up being unproductive. So finding out where you fall in that, where I don't want to talk about it, but really I'm trying to avoid it, or I want to talk about it just because I want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding out again where you fall so that way you can come to the middle and have this conversation that is productive and not just yelling and screaming at each other. And that's hard because when you grow up very churchy, one of the things that you often hear is not to go to sleep. What is it? Don't let the sun set on your anger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we feel this need to have this conversation right now. And I'm always like, don't do it, because at the end of the day, you need to honor the institution of marriage the way that God sees. And so if you're looking at it from a biblical perspective and you're just like, we need to have this conversation, not go to bed because that's what the Bible says. And then you have the conversation and you're fussing and cussing at each other. How productive was that? It's Is that really honoring?
Shut the up.
Exactly. So it's like, wait, what, girl? Make it make sense.
Right.
And so being able to identify, low key, I'm like, way too heated right now to have a conversation that's productive. Mm-hmm. So let's take a break and pencil something in. Mm-hmm. And that allows you, again, not only to calm down, but really do that work and say, what's really bothering me? What's really going on? What is the feeling that I have that I need to get out to him? Because 9 times out of 10, it's not an isolated event. It's not just this. It is something that is stemming from several things that are going on. And it's one feeling that's strung throughout. Identify that. So you can have that conversation. Not like, on this day at this time, you did this and I was upset. Well, let me argue tick for tat why I did that and why you did that. And we're going back and forth talking about this when it's really something up here.
Right. Yeah, it's always a bigger issue. What I was thinking about this thing in therapy we call the pursuer distancer dynamic.
Yes, I've heard you guys talk about this.
Yeah, so like you're like, come on, we can't let the sun go down. You're like, yes, we can. You know, and then you're trying harder and Kev might be like, yo,
you kind of push away even more.
And then you just go and go and go. So when Melanie does that, she's got like, you know, her claws out coming at me. I'm like, no, get away. And then she sees that as like, oh, I'll just try harder. I'll just push harder. You know, and it's like that, you know, old school Mario Brothers, you know, that ghost. Like if you look away from it, it chases you.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you face it, it stops.
Yeah.
You know, so if you just identify and be like, okay, listen, we got to table this. You know, we got to go to bed or whatever.
Right.
That is hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious.
I love that.
I just thought
it made me think of a, have you ever had a, what are those called? A terrier? Like those dogs? Like a, what was Patty? Our dog was
a Jack Russell Terrier.
That dog was the most annoying dog, and all she did was like badger you and wanted to get a thing and dig, and she would like chew the doors up. That's how I feel when I'm not like, and I will use the clearing structure as a way to get all that energy out of myself and not put it all over Seth, because I'm not tearing him up just because I'm bored.
Yeah.
And it's so important to recognize that it's a tool that you can either weaponize, or it's a tool that you can use and it's something that is productive.
Because
you can take anything and make it good or make it bad. You know what I mean? So recognizing just because you went through these steps doesn't mean you did it correctly. Mm-hmm. And the outcome's going to be something productive because you went in there like, you know, so recognizing that I think is actually really, really important. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this conversation. I think we're talking about really, really good stuff. I hope y'all feel the same. Mm-hmm. But I also want to tell you guys about your health, child, because we're talking about mental health, but something that's just as important is your physical health. Huh? One of the things that Kevin and I got married really young, like 20 and 21, and we didn't want children, we didn't want to turn it in college, child.
Oh, at the time. Okay.
Nah. But we didn't have jobs. And so we needed access to affordable birth control.
Yeah.
Is that what people call it these days? Birth control? Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't sure if that's like still the right term. Mm-hmm. Okay. In my mind, I called it something else. So we wanted access to affordable birth control. And you want things that are convenient because child life is busy. Okay, we all have a gazillion things on our to-do list, and being able to take control over your reproductive health in a way that is productive and convenient is everything that we are about. So I want to tell you about Simple Health. Here's how Simple Health works. You're going to go to simplehealth.com/lovehour, fill out an online health profile with your medical history, conditions, and birth control preferences. Simple Health is designed by doctors, and every patient is carefully reviewed by a doctor, so they're bringing the doctor's office to you. What does that mean? Convenience. That means you can skip the hassle of appointments, pharmacy lines, but still get quality care. Plus, their doctors and customer care team are just a message away. Best of all, Simple Health is free with most insurance plans, so you can pay absolutely nothing to use the service service every month. And for those of you without insurance, it's still super affordable. Pills start at just $15 a month, and monthly shipping is free for everyone. The annual prescription is usually $20, but my listeners can try Simple Health for free. Just go to simplehealth.com/lovehour or enter Love Hour at checkout. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor. You still need those for your overall health, but it is the most convenient and comfortable way to get your birth control. Try a better way to get birth control with Simple Health by going to simplehealth.com/lovehour or just enter Love Hour at checkout. Give it a try and thank me later. I also want to tell you about Canvas People. You guys, first of all, you guys supported Canvas People the last go around. So thank you guys so much. They have decided to support the podcast again because you supported them. Canvas People is great because they print your favorite memories and on, you know, your favorite cherished memories on canvas and allows you to keep them and display them beautifully in your home. You guys have seen the one Kevin and I have in our home. And what Canvas People is doing for our listeners for a limited time is offering their popular 11 by 14 photo canvas for free. That's right, for free. These are normally $69.99, but for this week only, you'll pay nothing, just cover shipping and handling. To get your free canvas, text Kevin, that's K-E-V-I-N, to 48 48 48. Just pay shipping and handling. This offer won't last. Again, text Kevin, that's K-E-V-I-N, to 48 48 48. Again, Kevin to 48 48 48. Okay, so I think we've covered all of the points on clearing structure. Did you want to add anything?
No, I think that's good.
Not that I can think of,
I feel like I think you guys did a fantastic job explaining it, and I hope that it was productive and practical for you to kind of take in. And if you're interested in the resource or the app, we'll allow time for them to explain it, but also include all of that in the description box notes. But you have been able to use or have used the clearing structure and I guess in other tips in your own life in conflict resolution. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's it's like one of our number one go-to things. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think the most thing is like being intentional about it and knowing what you want to say.
Yes.
And getting my thoughts, getting my stuff together before I come at her in any way, you know. And it's if you make that a daily practice or just a practice in general, it's pretty good. And it works with other people too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Parents, oh, yeah. You can use in-laws, clearing structure for any relationship, which love is that. Amazing. Like we've had some of our listeners use it with their bosses. We've had parent-child, people are healing their relationship with their family using clearing structure. But one of the things that has been really helpful for us walking through our own journey is how we repaired the trust in our story, which is something that we talked about, wanting to talk about today. Because like we said, Seth lied and looked at pornography, but I was crazy. I mean, it was not like that was the thing that messed us all up. It was the thing that set off kind of, it was like the button for the atomic bomb. It wasn't the bomb.
Oh, it was. Right.
Yeah. But and so we have walked through like rebuilding trust because we were so broken before. Mm-hmm. Like our trust was not even really good. I was so jealous of it. I mean, any woman walked by, I was not trustful of him anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then this all happened. So then we used the clearing structure to repair, but then we came up with these steps. I wrote them out yesterday. I was super jazzed about it. I got 5 steps to rebuild trust in your marriage because it is such a hard...
So hard.
It's such a hard thing to do. So I wanted to read those and we can talk about... I want to talk about each one because I think they're all...
And when we're talking about trust, we're not just talking about like, okay, somebody stepped out or cheated or whatever. I mean, obviously that's a major one, but it can be other stuff too.
Agreed.
Like
what money?
What is
we
this?
Broke I broke Melissa's trust when I bought her a car or bought I bought a car.
Uh-huh.
It ended up being hers, but that wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
my clutch went out in this old Civics I had, and it was like $2,000 to fix it, and it was worth like $500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, we gotta do something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, let's talk about it. And I'm like, obviously we need to do something. So long story short, I thought we talked about it because obviously I need a car.
sold the car on Craigslist within like an hour, which was crazy. And I was honest, like, yo, this the clutches that don't go past 20 miles per hour. And went to the dealership, told her I was just going to go look around. I did look around.
And they got you.
And they got me. Great deal.
Yep.
Came home with a brand new Honda and a brand new upset wife. Because she was so mad that she felt like I made a huge financial commitment without her. Mm-hmm. And that was breaking our trust because she wanted to have a conversation about it. And it had some lingering effects. So it doesn't have to always be cheating, you know, porn, illicit relationships. Mm-hmm. It can be financially big purchases, you know, and that was ours.
Yeah. How did that make you feel?
In the moment, I was so mad, but I realized actually as you're talking about it and looking back on it in the moment, it ties to something I just said earlier. It wasn't just this isolated event of buying a car. Mm-hmm. It was a lingering feeling that you go off and make. And I realize now, again, looking like having 2020 and looking back, that it carried over where I was feeling like you are making decisions and not including me. Mm-hmm. That's something we talked about on the tour. Mm-hmm. And so that is, it's not just you bought a car. It is this bigger problem of that you make decisions and I'm not included. It makes me feel like I'm not valued, mm-hmm. like I am a subsidiary, like I am, like you are running the show and this isn't a partnership. It is you steering and I'm just kind of a passenger on the boat.
You're an afterthought.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm an afterthought and I don't like that feeling. So if we're going to be in a marriage, if we're going to be in a partnership, if we're going to do this thing called life together, I need to be included on these, with you in these decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's super hard though. And I like, because sometimes if we're making these big decisions, sometimes they got to be like snap, you know.
Sure.
And like there's been zillions of times because I do all the travel stuff when we go, and you know, and I'm like, Melanie, is this fine, you know? And she's like, yeah, whatever. And then we end up there and she's tripping out. I'm
that's
like, girlfriend,
my own problem.
I'm like, I told you these things, right? But we didn't talk about it, we didn't plan it out, we didn't process it. I'm like, it, we had to get it done, you know. So then I feel like, oh, you don't trust me, you don't, you know, or not trust me, but you don't feel like I can take care of stuff.
Well, like you did.
It just clicked. It's trust in a different way. I did it.
Right?
The car that broke down was my car. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was getting to the shoots, how I was making money. Mm-hmm. She didn't see, and she had her own job mm-hmm. that she was working to, and we had another car that hers worked fine. So she wasn't she didn't have as much urgency to get this car fixed.
Yeah.
But what just clicked when you said that is, when you were not moving quickly, it was making me feel like I'm not doing my part in the relationship as a husband. Mm-hmm. If I don't have this car, I can't get to shoots. I can't get paid. I can't do my part. Mm-hmm. You can still do what you need to do for the family. So maybe you don't really care that much because your work is not affected. But my responsibility as a husband and father is to provide for my family. Without a car, I can't. This is before Uber,
right,
which seems crazy.
Right.
But without that, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll pay for it. It was the bill, the thing was like $249 a month. I've got amazing credit. So I was like, I don't know why you're tripping. Like, I'm going to pay the car note. Like, right. I'm not even asking for your help. And I got to go out and get this bread. But I didn't come at her with, this is, when you don't move quickly, it makes me feel that you don't respect me as a husband.
Yeah.
It's just like, we need to get this car, girl. You tripping.
Yeah. Because right. You were panicked. How am I going to make money? How am I going to do this? How am I going
to
do that?
Because I had to shoot like, in 2 days,
right,
and she had to work that same day, so it just happened to be like a 3-day holiday. So I'm like, girl, this is the Lord's divine order that I go get it today. It's a right. It's a sale.
It worked out.
The Lord told me going to buy it now, and it was a Honda One Accord. Amen. Hey. Biblical.
Ooh, yep.
Come on in here, huh? That is the Lord.
The Lord.
But we did have to rebuild trust, and I want y'all to get to this because I don't think we did it in any shape or fashion.
Yeah.
I think we just kind of like mucked our way through it.
Yeah.
And it'd be more helpful to have a plan of action.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's exactly why we came up with the 5 steps, because it was like we didn't have a plan of action either. And I feel like it took
a retrospective.
It's like an 11-day journey that took 40 years, right?
Yeah.
It was like, what are we doing walking around this mountain?
Yes.
But the analogy,
analogy
that I use for this idea was like, when you break trust, it's like breaking the bridge between two islands, right? It's the thing that connects you. Trust is the reason like you're with your partner. Mm-hmm. And when it's broken, it's like you took a bridge and it's gone, mm-hmm. right? And so my step one in this process is that repairing trust in your marriage takes a lot of support, right? Mm-hmm. Just like rebuilding your bridge takes cranes and supports and scaffolding and temporary stays, Rebuilding and this support rebuild or sorry and this rebuilding support might look like a church community, mm-hmm. trusted friends and family who you can talk to, a therapist,
awesome,
right?
Relationship podcast,
really a relationship podcast, and this support group, this system that you need when you rebuild this trust is the thing that holds you when you're the weakest, right? Like, yes. When a bridge is broken and you're trying to rebuild it, it's really weak, mm-hmm. and you need the supports there to hold you while you're weak. So that was step number one that I wish someone had told me, like, you need, like, it's a bridge that's messed up. You need support. Because I was trying to hide it, yes. from everybody. Like, I was embarrassed. Because I gave him a black eye. How eager am I?
I had to walk around with that.
Yeah. How eager am I to tell? You know, it's funny. Tell that story about one of your clients said.
Oh, so, yeah. So, a therapist. So, I got a bunch of clients and stuff. And one of the dads, I went to pick up his kid for an appointment. And one of the dads looked at me and goes, what'd he say? He's like, I get you.
Nobody goes. No, he goes.
All I did was look at him.
He said, you know? "Did your boss give you that?" Which I thought was so funny.
Oh yeah, did the boss?
Me.
But
did your boss?
Yeah.
Give
so
that?
It was
you
like this
kind
of unspoken thing. I was like, "Yep,
yeah,
she did, bro."
Right, but it does take support. And I wish, like, what did I guess the car issue might have been different, but like, what support have y'all used in the past when you've walked through rebuilding something new?
It's interesting you say that because I think I've chosen specific people in my life, mm-hmm. not just. People, mm-hmm. like my dad is really good because my dad is very level-headed and unbiased, mm-hmm. and he doesn't jump to conclusion, and he doesn't necessarily jump to my side on stuff. My mom is, I'm a mama's boy, so it would have been more difficult for me to be wrong, yeah. in any way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When I'm being fair about marriage or other stuff, like when I went to get another car, this is me and Melissa were cool with it. And I wanted to get like a crazy car. And I was sitting in it and I called my dad like, please tell me to get out. And he was like, son, you don't need it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely use my dad, church. Yeah, I think so as well. Especially early with the Blackberry Gate. There was our pastor and our men's group, you know, being able to share with like-minded people who wanted your marriage to do well.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? I think, mm-hmm. that's a big key because sometimes I was talking to a friend of mine, he was getting like this terrible relationship advice from, mm-hmm. like some old comics who like all cheat on their wives on the road. And he was like, mm-hmm. they were like, yeah, man, that's what the road is for, man. You got to go out here and get this road butt. And I was like, this is awful. But they were all like divorced and like, yeah. estranged from their kids and stuff. I'm like, dude, look at the result of their advice.
Yeah.
Like, is that the life that you want? He was like, I actually never thought about, because he was looking at the result of their life as comedians.
As comedians. Mm-hmm.
Not the result of their life as husbands. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, that's all I was going
to
say.
But I wanted to ask you, who was your supports?
So I don't go to people. I go to books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason why is because I don't be trusting everybody.
Mm.
I think that they mean well, but I don't always believe that people have the necessary skills to give you proper advice.
Mm.
And so I have found for me, myself personally, that reading books, going to different sites, even podcasts, yeah. to be honest, that have like reputable, like that's why I listen. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, Melanie is me. And Seth is who I want to be.
No.
Just with like that clinical aspect of stuff, I get kind of geeky when it comes to that kind of stuff, because I think that's what arming people with that type of knowledge is what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Going to people that mean well but don't always know, they can lead you astray on accident.
Yeah.
And so I'm always leery of that. So I use a lot of
I love that.
Resources.
Yeah,
like
use
that.
Resources, mm-hmm. as your support. So then, mm-hmm. number two is that trust will not look like it did in the past. This
I
is a new
this.
Type of trust. It's a different type of trust. If you want a bridge to withstand much more than your old bridge could handle, it has to have more accountability, more flexibleness, more give and take. And so that's what the one thing I wish I had known is that, yeah, the old bridge is gone. And the new one is not going to look the same.
That's so key.
And you don't want it to look the
right.
same. Your old one sucked.
Right.
That's why it exploded.
Yeah, that's probably what got you there in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, for some reason, I don't know, this theme is coming up, but that saying, you know, we all have a plan until we get punched in the face.
Yes, Mike Tyson said that.
Right?
Yes.
So we had a plan and it wasn't working, and then I got punched in the face,
yeah.
and then it's like, okay, our bridge
that
is
literally
gone.
Happened to you.
Literally, yeah. right? So everything has to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Yeah,
so,
and
ooh,
I just...
Ooh, hold on, guys. I just wanted to double check myself before I said this. You know that one of the keys to building a bridge in real life?
Tell
it's
us.
A trust.
Ooh.
That is the typical consisting, it's a framework typically consisting of rafters, posts, and struts supporting a roof, bridge, or other structure.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So in order to have trust,
look at God,
you gotta
he's
have
here.
Trust.
He's here.
Huh? Huh? Huh?
Wait.
I even Googled it because so I was churchy. Like, this is so good. Is so I want to be right and not wrong.
It should say trust, and then the T at the end is a cross.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Five ways that's, to
low
reveal
key.
Trust.
That's a
new
t-shirt.
Merch.
New merch alert.
New merch alert.
Wait, I want to just stay on this point really, really quickly because I think this is such an important
yeah,
key.
That's so good.
And I think it's important because recognizing, number one, that the old form of doing things wasn't working.
Yeah.
You don't even, and that's the hardest thing because you think that once, oh, we're supposed to get better, it needs to mirror what I was once
yes.
comfortable with. It needs to mirror what I once knew. And so telling yourself that's old. Mm-hmm. What has happened, I use this example in the Love Hour in our live, and I call it the inciting incident. Have I talked about this on the platform here?
No, I think you only did it on the live.
No? Okay. So the inciting incident. So the way that it works is that, well, little backstory. Kevin and I wanted to write a script together, and I don't consider myself creative. I don't know anything about this process. So I started reading a whole bunch of books. And once, because I like resources.
Yeah.
So I was reading this book, and it talks about like how to structure, like a pilot basically, or how to structure a show. And it talks about an inciting incident. And what that means is when you watch a movie, as an example, they establish a world. Then something happens. Once that happens, it forces you into a new world, never to return to what was. Mm. So as an example, one of the books I uses Breaking Bad as an example. Breaking Bad starts off with Walter White as a middle school or high school teacher. He's middle class, he's suburban, you know, kind of barely making ends meet, but he's a nerd. Yeah, that's the world that he's currently in. He goes to the doctor. He gets a diagnosis that he has cancer of some sort, I don't remember. And once that diagnosis, that's his inciting incident. He has this moment where he realizes, I can't afford this. Like, what am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to live my life with this cancer.
I don't think Walter White said, child, I can't afford this.
That is what he said.
Child, I can't afford this? What
pull up
do?
The scripture.
I'm broke, period.
The scripture, the script. Season one, episode one. He said, child, how am I going to make it? Literally written out just like that. And so he decides to connect with his student and becomes
Heisenberg.
He becomes Heisenberg. He starts cooking meth, all of these things. That forces him into a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never be Walter White, scene one, opening one of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
You have a world that's a stop. You get married. You say, I do. You think you are in fairyland.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have this event that happens, whether it's porn, whether your trust is broken, whether you bought a car, whatever it is. That is your inciting incident. Once you go through repairing your world, your life together, it will never look like what it, and it never will.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is now open to things that are different. You've shared something even, to be low-key honest. The intimacy level between you is now even deeper because those secrets are no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You know, you can be fully seen, fully valued, fully the good, the bad, the ugly. Look, you see all of me now. I've fully exposed myself. We will never go back to what was. And being okay with that is the first step to really being able to move forward. Otherwise, you're always going to be trying to hold on and grab the past.
Yeah, that's the big thing, like being okay with that, not trying to go back.
Yes.
Because like I said before, to romanticize the past, but like, well, my family of origin did it this way. And it's like, we also go back to what we know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So whether we're stressed or tired or hungry or whatever, we usually default back to that unless we create those new patterns like, no, that's the old me. I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to do this, right? So, but you got to be willing to go there. And that's the biggest thing, because like, personally, I hadn't been willing sometimes. She hasn't. All my like clients in therapy, like, yo, you got to, no.
Yeah.
This doesn't work anymore.
Right.
This ain't working. So you got to be open to that.
Number three is that creating this new trust takes a lot of time.
Yes.
That's what I wish someone had told me. Because again, you want your bridge to be stronger, better, withstand more things, you know, all of the stuff. You want all of those things there. And that takes a very long time.
Yes.
That literally might be months, years.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a big enough break, it will take a
probably
long...
the bigger the trust break, the longer the time period to repair.
I would assume, yeah.
Well, there's the saying like trust takes an instant to be destroyed, but it takes a long time. So we're in LA. We live in Seattle. Both terrible traffic. You got you ever seen a bridge being built?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a minute.
It takes a while.
Long minute, yeah.
Let me tell you what else you want to last a long time. An erection.
I knew it was for Bluetooth.
That was excellent. That is one thing you do want to be that fast is a lot, and strong.
Listen, and sometimes we don't always have the capability of making it last long on our own. Blue Chew was here to help. It is for more than just those with. It gives you the erection you deserve for the length of time that you need. Mm-hmm. It is for more than just erectile dysfunction. It is for those who just want
Performance enhancement. You don't just want to score 7 points and 2 rebounds. You want a triple-double.
You want the whole triple-double. Listen, guys, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It is for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, embarrassment, all of the things. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use promo code LOVEHOUR.
Love Hour.
Just pay $5 for shipping. $5. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOVEHOUR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Love Hour podcast.
Is number 4 on there free samples to see?
No, it's not. So number 4 about the trust bridges was that you need to vent your feelings in a way that is going to be beneficial and helpful and not just plop them back on your new bridge, right? Yeah. So you made a new bridge. It's a new thing, all this stuff. Do not put that junk back onto that new bridge, because that's what I was doing. I did that for years. Like, I said, okay, I forgive you. We're going to work through this. We're going to do the hard work. We're going to go see a therapist, blah, blah. And then when I would get angry, it was just like a plow, just like a snow plow of all the crap that I was ever mad at Seth for. And I'd just be like, see, and then it's just there. Now what? So I really recommend not doing that. And you can do, there's a couple tools to get, you know, to stop doing that. One is, if you have a therapist, you can talk to your therapist. You could vent to a friend. But like you were saying, it's got to be someone that is actually helpful for your marriage, a good person with good advice, not whatever, not anything bad.
I'm not going to get money advice from a poor person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you shouldn't take marriage advice from, you know, your girlfriend who's like, I don't know, whatever.
People
or,
who
know,
don't have good
like
marriages.
Yeah. Or something.
Like,
you know,
look at who you're talking to.
That's not wise,
consider
right?
Consider the choice. Or the source.
Yeah, so.
You know what's funny about that? You mentioned that this friend of mine who doesn't own a home, he posted this thing on his Instagram. This guy was like, at home is a bad investment. You don't get this and that, and you can't. And I'm like, and he was like, yeah, see the guy. Yeah. And I was like, that's completely wrong.
Right.
He was like, the guy was like, you need to rent your home. You don't need to ever buy it. You pay just like you rent a hotel. You should rent your house. And I was like, first of all, a home is an investment you can live in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, but what about money you put down? Like, a lot of times people don't put money down. Long story short of it, he was getting advice from somebody who didn't even understand how the thing really worked.
Right,
I was like, we had a house and we didn't put any money down and it's earning equity right now.
Right.
He was like, really? I thought you had to put money down. Like, and sometimes you put money down, but what you earn in equity over time is 10, 20 times what you put down.
Easy.
So he got what he thought was good advice from a terrible source.
Right.
And had I not been like, bro, that's completely wrong,
vet
he
would have
lived
source.
His whole life. Vet your source. And your vetting should be the result you have in your life.
But so I think venting and not putting the old stuff onto your new bridge
so
is
good.
Super, super important. And then number 5 is that your new trust will need regular maintenance, but not obsessive and fear-based, like constant badgering and all that stuff. Like, when they build a new bridge, yes, they have scheduled maintenance. They check the trusses. They do whatever they need to do to make sure that it's working. And that will happen. You'll have to go, okay, wait, we built this new bridge. Is it working right? Are there like weak spots or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very fine line, and I was on that. Like, we get lots of messages from listeners that are like, well, I have his phone. I check his phone all the time. I'm always looking at his phone. Is he looking at this? Is he doing that? Is he texting this person? It's like, you can do that, but that's not a way to live, and you're not going to be happy about that. He's not going to be happy about that. you know.
And it's going to just damage your trust now.
Yeah.
Because even when you, because the comedian said this was really funny. He said, you know, your wife or girlfriend always go through your phone, and they only get mad when they find something. But if they don't find anything, he was like, you should have to give me sex.
Yeah.
If you go through it and don't find nothing, I need a reward. Because for all the times you go through and find something, you're going to trip.
Yeah.
So when I have a great day, I need a reward or something like that. And I think that is so true. I want to go back to two things you said of those 5 points. To me, the two most important are the, this will not look like it used to look, and time. I think for what we, when we were going through our stuff early and even in the past, we often want it to look like what it looked like before. And the realization it can't and it shouldn't.
And it shouldn't.
Like that is, those are two separate words, but equally important. It can't because it just can't. And it shouldn't because it didn't work.
Right.
And if you accept that, okay, this is not going to work. So what does it look like? A lot of times in tour we have problems, and there's just like one time we had a problem with a venue, and they just were like, they didn't have the right seating. And what I would have wanted to be is what I thought I was going to get is exactly there.
Yeah.
That option is not on the table.
Right.
So what is on the table? We can do this, we can do that. It can look like this, that, or that. But one thing I think in our marriage is looking exactly like it did in the past, that is off the table. Even if you didn't do anything to destroy it, there's some parts of that you will just never see the same. You know, like when I was texting that girl early in our relationship, Melissa might have not ever crossed her mind what I'm doing on my phone. Never, ever, ever. After that moment, she might not do it every time, but she's never going to have that blanket trust same way that she had in the past. And you might build retrust and stuff like that, but she'll never, because she was part of it was naive. She was naive, and I was naive, and stuff like that. So you just were not going to be that that young, inexperienced, naive. So you're not even going to see the world the same either.
So true.
I think that's super important, because I think with trust being broken, we get discouraged because it's like, man, I used to be like this. I used to just be able to do this and it'd be cool. And now it takes a lot more work and it's taking a lot more time. But I think the thing that you said that I think is the most impactful is with these 5 steps, there's hope. You know what I mean? Like regardless of what the trust issue was, there's hope that this can work again if I'm okay with it looking different. What we really need to do is make sure this bridge works. I really just want to go to Gig Harbor or to Bremerton or something like that. I just want to go across the Golden Gate Bridge. I want it to be safe. As long as it's safe, you know, I think, you know, that's like a little tinge of hope that we can look for.
And building that bridge together too.
Yeah.
So it's not just one like, okay, I got the plans, I got the materials, I'm going to put all this together. Because then that leaves the other partner out, and it's just not as healthy as a process. And let me ask you guys something real quick. Like, would you guys, so the idea of not going back, oh, I just wish it was this way, it should be this way, and like, you know, being pissed and upset about all that, like, would you personally want to be exactly who you were 2 years ago?
Absolutely not.
Right? What about you?
No.
Right? So that growth mindset is like, I'm glad I'm here. And it's like, if I hadn't learned the things, you know, in the past 2 years, I wouldn't have this right now. And look at this and this possibility and this. So growth, although it's hard and hurts, it's like growing pains, you know?
Right.
Oh, my legs. You know, when you're a kid or whatever. It's like, okay, well, I'm growing. I'm going through some uncomfortableness, but now I'm going to be taller or bigger or whatever. That's
and
a good thing.
And those failures are what, so people always ask me in business, how do you get there? People don't, what they don't want to hear is a lot of mistakes is what causes you to be good at anything, especially business, marriage. It's it's renting a, man, this, the last 2 years of touring, we learned a lot. And one time I was like, man, I got this venue for $300, right? We go there, it's a high school, which I knew, but they show you these great pictures of the venue and sound equipment. We get there and no one knows we're supposed to be having a comedy show. Luckily, a janitor was mopping, and they were like, you got a what?
It was terrible.
Comedy show? Oh, okay, well, the gym's over there. Oh. Where's the sound person? Oh, they left. So here's how you plug it in. So I'm just like, So now I realize $300 isn't always the best way to do it. Because when you only pay $300, you get $300 worth of, of show. You know what I mean? The lights were off in the beginning of the show. So all that stuff is like, okay, next time I see why you get a Union Theater. It's expensive, but they're going to be there. They're going to have the right people. So all that comes from making mistakes. You know what I mean? All these years. And that same thing with marriage. Like, understanding how it's funny. One thing I didn't do early in our marriage is, how's Melissa going to respond to this? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, if I do this, how she, you know, I just do stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she'd be tripping. And then I realize the next time that happens, I can, like, you know, that's a Raven when her eye went like, and I see Melissa like, I come back.
You laughed entirely too hard, Joshua.
Don't police his laughter, you know. But all those mistakes lead to, like, oh, let's do this because my wife will feel like this. Like, we had a big issue with the gift I bought Melissa over Mother's Day, and seeing her reaction in the resulting blow up, and like, okay, now let me not buy gifts that I want her to have.
Yep, I called that episode.
Yeah. Right, huge mistake with the right intention. A little bit, some wrong intention. But now, I had the opportunity of doing that before, after that, and being like, nah, Melissa will not like that. Let's not do this. Mm-hmm. This won't look good, you know, blase, blase.
Yeah. I love listening to podcasts, and like when I was like, yep, that's me. That's me. Oh, and that is definitely Melanie right there. Because like the whole gift, like, you know, love language stuff.
Yeah.
I've gotten her stuff, and she's been like, what is this?
Yes.
Now I gotta look at this.
What is wrong with you? Yeah. What is this?
Yeah.
I love it. Anything else did you guys want to add? I think this has been a super great episode. It has been
so good.
I hope it's been as beneficial for you guys listening as it has been for me. And child, we enjoyed them. So if we talked a lot, we enjoyed our guests. I'm sorry. We tried to do better, but child, we just,
that ain't even commenting yet.
You know why? Because they be there every time. I all the way turned off my comment. Mm-hmm. I used to get him on my, I didn't turn off the comments, but I used to get the notifications. I was like, I'm not fooling with y'all.
We messed up the Righteous and Ratchet episode with Trevor so bad, I'm not even looking at the comments. Yes. It's all negative. I don't need to hear it. Yes. Mind your business.
So before, because they always look like they wanted to say something, y'all cut them off. Is there anything that you would like to say before we close out this episode? Make sure you tell us about your app as well.
I just want to talk about the app. And again, go back to and our podcast, the Anatomy of Marriage podcast and the Get Your Marriage On app, are tools that we made because we wanted tools like that when we were going through everything. So this isn't like we're trying to make money or we want to be cool. Yeah. This is literally like
the tools you wish you had.
Yeah. Yep. Like, why wasn't
those
there
also
this show?
How you get good businesses. On Shark Tank, a lot of time it's the thing that somebody wish they had.
Squatty potty.
Yeah, squatty potty. The cup that connects to the plate.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing you wish you had.
Yeah. And that's literally the whole purpose for all of it. And so all of it is like legitimately from our hearts and from our lives and from our experience and from his therapy practices and all of that. So that's really all I wanted to say.
And they get that in the app store or go to
the website? You can go to, Get Your Marriage On is the app. You can get in the app store. You have it in
Android.
This is why we knew
Google
we love them, because they're a total iPhone
Google Play or something. Ew. I don't know. The Boost Mobile store.
Yuck.
And then you Metro. Can, and same thing with the Anatomy Marriage podcast. You can get it on iTunes or whatever, wherever. Just Google
Apple Podcasts or wherever. Go
the Apple Store.
We have some stuff coming up. You can check out at anatomyofmarriage.com. Mm-hmm. We got like a mastermind coming up where it's like a monthly thing where we just chill and like give good advice, get advice. It's like that support group we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's like
this
isn't lame advice you're getting from your divorced uncle, you know, who's got five, you know, side hustle girlfriends
a
or whatever.
Case of beer in.
Yeah. Right. So
side hustle girlfriends. Yeah.
he's working it, right? No, but this is like real advice from other people who want good advice and are looking for it. You know,
we've got lots going on. So in our mastermind, it's kind of a solution for people who can't afford therapy. It's like, it's $69 a month and you're part of this group and we get live video chats every week. And it is the community that you go, what do I do now? I got to talk to somebody. Yes. It's that.
Right.
And it's significantly less expensive than therapy.
That therapy be.
But check those out. And thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, we love
so
you guys.
Much. This is, I absolutely love when I think people are a certain way and I meet them and they meet that expectation. And you guys are exactly who I envisioned you to be. And so thank you for being who you are and for flying all the way to LA, 2 hours or however long that flight is, two and a half hours from Seattle to be with us today. Thank you, Delta. We flew them Delta.
Yeah. Thanks for flying us down here too.
It's been so fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. LA's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never been here.
Yeah.
What am I seeing? I've seen everything. Yeah.
It's a lot.
All at once.
Welcome to the crazy land. So again, thank you to our sponsors today. We had Third Love, Simple Health, Canvas People, and Blue Chew. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. As always, the podcast is free to you, but it is ad supported. So please support our sponsors. By supporting our sponsors, you are supporting us. Support Melanie and Seth. I love everything that they do. Like I said, if you love us, you will fall in love with them. Everything will be in the description box. I'll make sure I get all of your information. They have a daily show that they do. It's like a prayer or something that you guys do every day.
It used to be
it's Marriage Mornings.
Marriage Mornings,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can follow them if you want your daily dose, and follow their Instagram, chat, all the things, just all the things.
All the things.
So thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. Until the next time, bye.
Yep.